Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
A lot of football on this Football Friday. We'll get to some Bears here. This is going to be intriguing on many levels on this game.
It is. Yeah.
Really quick, one video that I like that I can go back to no matter what. Fleck brought up the disgusting one of the woman pooping in the grocery store and then slipping in it. This is not a disgusting one. Do you guys remember when the television reporter was doing some grape stomping years and years ago? It was a contest. Yeah. And then she tried to cheat against the grape stomper.
Yes.
And then she was stomped. And then she fell out of the hole stomping
the barrel.
And then she made this sound.
Because she got like the wind knocked out of her.
Yes. And it was live. Not only was the sound hilarious as she knocked the wind out of herself, but then they went back. They took it back in the studio. And the two are sitting there going, "Oh, that's a shame. Oh, poor little whatever her name is." I don't know if you could call that up, Chris. Like, there are these videos that, I mean, they just make you laugh no matter how old. It's like the sports
highlight. Or just bring back Sylvie making that sound.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Are you saying that's in our audio system or just to look it up online?
Google it, yeah. Grape reporter.
Grape lady reporter making a what noise?
Well, I would Google grape stomping reporter cheats, and then that should come up. She's doing a live report, and she's stomping.
I'm going reporter hurts herself.
Well, there you go,
stomping grapes. Oh, there it just.
Right away.
Didn't even need all that.
Yeah.
Just grape. Grape
stomping. There it is. I see
just
it.
Google grape lady.
Yeah. Stomping grape. Like grape stomping lady falls.
The sound. It's got to be 15 years old.
Stop.
Here.
Oh, I can't breathe.
It's better than I remember. I know you're doing it.
Sylvie after week one football pick.
Rewind that.
Get hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Ooh,
okay. Gosh, I hope she's okay.
I hope she's
okay. We're going to
poor Lucy.
Make sure she is.
I hope she's okay. Did you know a human can make that noise?
Stop.
No comment.
That's what you get when you cheat.
I can't breathe. Stop.
Or when you pay for it.
No. Oh, dear.
I think she's actually hurt.
Yeah, I got a lot of spit.
Oh, damn.
There you go.
Chris, you've never seen it. Isn't it outstanding?
It's magical.
I think I've seen it. Yeah. It's good.
What year is that from? What's the date on the video?
I mean, the
2009?
No.
Yeah, that's when the. It's clearly older than that.
It's just her. She took a hard fall.
Lucy took a hard fall. It's a sound our Bears fans are going to be making as they lose to the Bears.
Forget the Boo Factory out there on the lakefront.
I keep rewinding because I'm trying to figure out what she. How did she fall?
I think she fell forward and got the wind knocked out of her.
Oh, stop.
Play that after every Bears highlight. Eddie Jackson misses another tackle.
It was worth the search, wasn't it, Chris?
For the next hour, we're just going to replay this.
It is a Friday.
Do you know where this was? Just outside Anastasio's in the back.
Tomorrow.
Anastasio's.
It's Anastasia's. I almost said it the wrong way now because I've heard it so many times.
That's what you're going to be in
tonight. Tonight I'll be in Palatine. Tomorrow it's Antioch. Anastasia's tomorrow. Tonight we're starting 7 o'clock, White Claw, trip to Vegas on the line. You'll have three chances to qualify. Lamplighter Inn, T.J. O'Brien's, and JL's Pizza. Tomorrow in Antioch, 2 to 4, Anastasia's, Wings, etc., and Rivalry. In all seriousness, I'm very interested in to see what happens this weekend.
Of course.
Because there are so many things. What will Nagy's game plan be? Will it be a little bit different? Will Dalton play better? Will the defense correct itself? And will they be able to stop the trend of giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points?
Okay, I'll take these one by one. The first thing is yes, this game plan is going to look significantly different because the Bengals play defense differently than the Rams do. You're going to see a lot of single high safety with a lot of bump and run and man coverage, or at least that's what they showed in week one against the Minnesota Vikings. So with that in mind, there are going to be opportunities for them to push the ball down the field. I think the game plan will be significantly different. Also, Ricardo Allen, a safety who has been out. He's been placed on IR, and cornerback Trey Waynes, one of their starters, is going to be out as well with a hamstring. So they're going to be missing a couple of their secondary guys. They did put pressure on Kirk Cousins in week one at home. But yes, I believe the game plan will look much different on Sunday. And I think you'll see some splash plays. You finally have, I don't know the status of Perryman. I don't know when he's going to be up to speed and be active on their roster. But without him, you still have three guys that are sub 4-4 guys. And Darnell Mooney and Demir Byrd and Marquise Goodwin. Like, you have to take advantage of. I thought that was one of the things that they did really well this offseason. They focused offensively on adding speed to their huddle. And they've got guys now that can really turn and burn. So I'll be shocked if they don't push the ball downfield on Sunday.
And Montgomery just looks quicker, too. Doesn't he look quicker than he's looked the last couple of years?
Yeah, at this point, I think you can make an argument that he's as good an offensive threat as they have. Like, we all like Allen Robinson. We all think, you know, the world of him. I think we're all high on Darnell Mooney. But, like, David Robinson is a really good football player, and that's why he needs even more touches than they gave him against the Rams on Sunday night. And I think they will get him 20 touches in this game. So
what do you make of how much they'll use Justin Fields? Are they going to try and pacify the crowd and use him more? And then what if he does something well and then they bring in Dalton and then, you know, people are going to start booing?
I don't know if it's going to be to pacify the crowd, but I think that everyone in their building realizes that Justin Fields is the best quarterback, and that whether or not you believe he still needs to learn a few things, that he's going to be on the field sooner rather than later. And knowing that, I think they are going to. I'd be shocked if he didn't have more snaps in this game. I mean, shock's a strong word, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to ramp up his usage to the point where, and you know what I feel? I feel that it's going to happen in game four at home against Detroit. That's been my prediction all along. But I think you'll see a gradual ramp up of snaps for him. And whether you agree with it, disagree, whatever the case may be, they have remained steadfast with their plan. But I do believe that you'll see more of him this Sunday than you did last Sunday night in Los Angeles.
And we're all fixated on the offense. We're all fixated on Justin Fields. How much will he play? How short is the leash on Andy Dalton? The defense, this is going to be very, very intriguing, considering are things going to continue to trend poorly? This is a team that you can sack the quarterback. We know this. They still don't protect him well. But Joe Burrow, as we know, is good. And he's got three really good wide receivers. And he's got a really good running back.
He was sacked five times in week one.
And then so we don't. Khalil Mack, what did he have? A half a tackle?
I think he showed up on the stat sheet with an assist, if I'm not mistaken.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Quinn had a half a sack, him and Hicks, but pretty quiet.
Look, I think that I have as much concern about the defense as I do anything on this team. Because let's face it, when they turn things over to Justin Fields, we all agree that it will look better. It will be more dynamic. It won't be mistake-free. I don't believe they immediately go become a top 16 offense in the league. And hopefully I'm wrong. But I don't believe you're going to make this enormous jump immediately because of the some of the issues they have on their offensive line. If you're someone that truly believes this team is a playoff caliber team, they're going to get there in large part because the defense gets back to playing at the very least like they played in their better moments last season. Remember, 2018, you're never going to revisit those times, I don't believe. 2019, the sacks and the takeaways went away for the most part, but they were still the number four in scoring defense. Last year, they were 14th in scoring defense, and the sacks and takeaways weren't as prevalent as well. I'm not suggesting to you they're going to return to the glory days, but if this team is going to be an 8 or 9 win team and sneak into the postseason, that defense is going to have to play well and significantly better than they did Sunday night in Los Angeles. So my eyes on that defense as much as it is on what quarterback is going to be running in and out of the huddle as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. I mean, it's opening day. It's what we deemed sort of like a softer game compared to the other tough games. If you don't get this one and you start 0-2 and you're staring a really good Cleveland team both offensively and defensively in the face on the road in week 3...
I think it's more likely than my prediction. And look, I'm not dialed in. I don't need my prediction to come true to feel good about myself. It wouldn't hurt. But if you are looking for the impetus for change, that impetus will be less visible if they go out there on Sunday and Andy Dalton plays pretty well against the team and they go out there and they accomplish some stuff offensively and they come away with a convincing win. Then I still believe they go to Cleveland and they get roughed up there because Cleveland's a good football team. I think it's less likely that my prediction comes true. But if you go out there and you struggle offensively, and God forbid you lose on Sunday, which is possible, this is an up-and-coming, better Cincinnati team, then I think that the groundwork is being laid for a change to be made sooner rather than later.
Did I give you the stuff on the air, or was it just off the air, the five biggest bets that Caesars has taken.
Just off the air.
Of the five biggest bets Caesar has, and this is a good segue into Carmen, as we'll get some of the plays for the weekend. Of the five biggest bets I saw at Caesars Sportsbook this week, the largest, it was a tie for the largest, was $300,000 on the Bengals at +3. This is when they were getting 3.
Hmm.
So, and that line has moved a lot all week. So we'll check in with Carmen. We both like the Bears, but again, I always say when relying on us, especially on the NFL,
tread lightly.
Yes, tread lightly. Carmen DeFalco knows what he's doing when it comes to gambling. The Dogs were your friend. Will they continue to be your friend in week 2 in the NFL? Carmen fills us in coming up next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
All right, let's talk some games, college and pro, the NFL. Could use all the help. My buddy Bob, CPD Bob, texted me during the break. He goes, you may want to start picking college, 2-14.
Or just continue to advertise yourself as Oppo.
Oppo guy.
Okay, Oppo guy.
Right. It's a service. I'm providing a service. This is what I'm doing.
Is it time?
How much is Cap going to pay for it?
Wow. Ouch. Meeting tonight in the driveway at 6:45.
I got a lot of reactions.
Is it time for just the tip with Carmen DeFalco?
Yes, it is. Just the tips. Let's talk to Carmen, and he will give us all the gambling tips you want on a Friday, on a football Friday. So he joins us on the Corona Hotline. All right, let's start here, Carm. I've got on DraftKings, I've got a free $25 bet that I must use in the next 2 days on anything. All right? What is your best play for the weekend?
Just coming out of the gate with your best play of the day.
What do you feel so good about that I should put those $25 on?
Man, you're putting me on the spot right out of the gate. If I were going to tell you...
And by the way, Carm, if he loses the bet, the kids don't eat for a month.
Yeah, I know.
No pressure.
It's troubling times up there after he goes 2-14 in the first weekend of the NFL season. So, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm circling one that I really like a lot, I gave it out on the latest Odds Couple podcast. Is up on the ESPN Chicago app. Milano might not like it as much because I'm going to go against his man crush and his guy, but I think the Eagles are a pretty good bet getting 3 at home this week against the 49ers, if I were going to have to give you one. You know, as much as I do like Kyle Shanahan, too, and that offense was humming for a little bit last week. But believe it or not, like, this isn't a great spot in terms of covering for Shanahan. Niners are 9-18-1 against the spread as a favorite under Shanahan. And the Eagles have done a good job. Their last 10 home games as a dog, they're 7-3 covering the numbers. So, you know, Hurts still, like, is very much a work in progress, guys. He barely went down the field. I mean, he averaged less air yards than Andy Dalton, I think, if you can believe it. Now, they hung a big number on Atlanta, and that speaks more to some of Atlanta's issues. But I still think there are some matchup things. Verrett's out again, big shock. Another injury for the 49ers. That seems to be always the case for them. But I think there's some matchup stuff, and I think Waddle looked good in his debut last week, and they can get him in space. Yeah, Waddle, you did a good job. Your son, I'm telling you. That son that you never told us about. It was always four daughters, four girls. I tell you, that Jalen Waddle, he's got the Tom Waddle
difference maker, Carm.
Difference maker, absolutely. So, yeah, if I'm picking one, that would probably be it. I hope I don't let you down on that.
Okay, let's zoom out a little bit. And I know what the theme of last week's conversation was first week dogs barking. Will there be an overreaction? How do people adjust to week two after what transpired last week?
Like, it's normally, you know, everybody goes rushing to the window to go the other way, right? Like, everybody now starts, well, okay, all the underdogs won, so there's got to be a correction, and that means all the favorites are the favorites are going to cover. I mean, the biggest thing you see is just, like the Bears line is a perfect example, probably, right, where I think that's a big overreaction to people watching the Bears really lay an egg in prime time. And then the Bengals winning a game, even if you didn't watch it, you might see, okay, well, the Bengals won. I watched the Bears play in primetime, and they looked awful. So the Bengals have to be, the Bengals have to be a live dog, or they're going to go into Soldier Field and they're going to beat the Bears. This is a perfect week one to week two sort of overreaction, right? I mean, that line was 5.5 2 weeks ago, and then it opens at 3, not even 10 days ago, and then it opens at 3. After all the games finish on Sunday, then it gets bet down to 1. I mean, it's like that's your classic example of, like, okay, here we go. We're going to overreact to something that we saw. And look, I don't know. The Bears might get drilled again. Who the hell knows? But I almost never bet the Bears.
And minus 2.5. It's an enticing play to play the Bears, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I almost never play the Bears. I'm telling you. I mean, when I say almost never, I'm serious. Like, I almost never play the Bears. But I think they're probably a pretty safe bet this week. I think they were embarrassed while all their peers were watching, and teams normally respond after that. They're playing at home. They haven't been great in home openers the last 7 years, just 2-5, if you can believe it. But they've been a little bit better under Nagy. They're 3-0 under Nagy in week two, for what that's worth. So, like, I don't know. I think this is a much better spot to back the Bears, and it's your perfect example of where you can get some value, where people might be, and even the betting markets a little bit, are just overreacting to what we saw from week one.
Carm, you'll get a kick out of this, the trend. And I know this isn't an against the spread trend, but give them, Waddle, the number.
The Bengals
in
their last
on the road.
24 road games since 2018, Carm, the Bengals are 3-20-1.
But how do you how do you judge that, where
it's hard.
Of two of the 3 years of Andy Dalton, who is now the Bears quarterback, was the quarterback of those Bengals teams
now
on the
also
road.
In that stretch, the Bengals defense you know was like, I mean, bottom five two out of
yeah,
the 3 years.
Right. Yeah, right. But I mean, I think it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
It's coincidental that we're
now
we're,
we've got the quarterback who was 3-24.
We've got
on
their
the road.
Quarterback yeah. from that.
It stretch. Is kind of ironic, isn't it? But I mean, it does.
Isn't
you know,
it ironic?
Sometimes and like there's been a lot of turnover. Like, some of that is going to predate this coaching staff. It, you know, there's been a lot of turnover with their roster, especially their offensive players. Like, they're a better team probably than what's represented in that sample, because there are some differences. But, you know, those organizational trends, I think you can still use in your calculus when you're working through how you're going to handicap games for the week. It's not a bad thing to look at circle and say, that gives me some pause. I mean, is Joe Burrow and company really ready to go on the road and play as well as they did at home for stretches last week? I mean, like, Waddle will tell you, I mean, there's still there's still some growing pains that are going to happen for Burrow. He hasn't played a full season, and they've got promise. I mean, they really do. Like, they have promise on offense, you know, more than the Bears probably have on offense right now. But that doesn't mean that they're ready to go in to Soldier Field in week two after an emotional win and be an upset. So I still think the Bears are a pretty good bet, actually, this weekend.
I have a couple of big games that I want to get to. And tell me how much of the philosophy that you just mentioned with the Bears and the Bengals week to week. The Ravens are a really good home team. Obviously, the Chiefs are good. You always love that home dog. And the Ravens are getting 3.5 points in their home. Do you have a good feeling of this game, or is this more of a stay away?
Stay away for me, it is, Sylvie. The thing that scares me about backing the Ravens right now, first of all, short week, that's always something. Although they are playing Sunday night, so that helps a little bit. You get a few extra hours. But still, the short week after playing out west, and, I mean, it's Mahomes in Kansas City. I mean, do you guys realize, speaking of how bad the Bengals have been in recent years on the road, do you realize he's never lost in September? He's undefeated in September. You know how many interceptions he's thrown in September in his career? Zero. His quarterback rating in September is like 130.
And the Ravens have injuries out the uniform.
Beyond belief. I mean, they really do. They haven't beyond belief. I think, for all the talk about what happens in their backfield, I mean, like, losing Marcus Peters is huge. I mean, that's not position A when you have to face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in primetime, albeit you get him at home and you've lost one of your best players in your secondary, and it's just – I wouldn't feel good about backing the Ravens yet. Harbaugh is usually pretty good in a spot like this where they don't want to fall to 0-2 with a couple of conference losses. So I have a feeling it'll be a spirited effort and they'll play well, but I don't know, man. I can't go against Mahomes. Not a game I'm playing, but I would have a hard time backing the Ravens in this game.
Do you have another one that you want to ask?
The Seattle game.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah, there was two. And so Sylvie have this, and I have the same thought here. There's two games, Carm, that I look at, and I see that the number has moved quite a bit and would love to get your input on. One is that Seattle Titans game. Seahawks are hosting the Titans. The number is Seattle -6.5. And the other one is the Jets and the Patriots game. And that line, I think, is at 6.
Yeah, like, depending on which side you want to be on here, like, if you're going to roll with Belichick doesn't really lose the rookie quarterbacks, Patriots are 21-6 straight up, 15-12 against the number when they play rookies with Bill Belichick at the helm. But, that's most of that work is done with Tom Brady. He's got a rookie of his own going on the road now for the first time. So depending on which side you want to be on, like, if you like the Patriots, the best of that number is long gone. So I would not recommend betting on the Patriots now because you're buying at the wrong time. I mean, that line was 3.5 or 4. That disappeared by Monday night. If anything, definitely lean more towards, at this point, the intra-division home dog there in the Jets. He is a master against rookie quarterbacks. I mean, really, it's like the stat is, you can build out even to quarterbacks that are like 24 and under. I mean, his number against them straight up historically is so good, but now you're laying nearly a touchdown. Not one I'm playing either, but I'd actually more lean towards the Jets if I were going to play anything in that game.
And then the Seahawks hosting the Titans, that's a 6.5 point number.
It's a big number, isn't it?
It's like the Bears Bengals thing, I think, guys. It's another bit of potentially a little bit of an overreaction to everybody seeing how well the Seahawks played on the road in Indy. And what happened to the Titans getting drilled at home? That's like another perfect example. That's a line that is totally inflated from where it was just 10 days ago. It's the overreaction to what we saw in week one. Again, if you want to say Sunday, I want to go back Seattle, you've missed the opportunity to get the line at a good spot. You're still below the key. I guess I'd say that and just keep an eye on it. If it gets out to 7, if it crosses that threshold, forget about it. That'd be a big no play for me, or look to the Titans the other way. If it gets out over 7, because like you said, it's still hanging around 6.5 for now, but probably another good example of where there's just an overreaction. And I would think that the Titans, after Vrabel kind of called them out the way he did, that they're going to come out and respond. Derrick Henry's got to be better, I would think, this weekend. I would think they'd go to a little bit more play action, which was their bread and butter the last couple of years, and they like completely abandoned it. And granted that when you're down early and you're chasing and Henry's maybe not doing as well, you throw that in the garbage. But, I mean, it's not like they just cut it in half. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 80% off from where they were on average a year ago running play action. I mean, it's kind of Tannehill's thing and that offense's thing. So that was a weird game for them. They were really bad. So I think it's kind of like this Bears-Bengals spot. There's some similarities there for sure.
Really quick, Carm, two-prong question. The Packers, do they bounce back? It's a big number, but they're playing the Lions. They're a 12-point favorite. And then give us another one of your hot plays.
I think they'll bounce back. I do think they'll win. They've been pretty good in that rivalry. You know, they get to be back home on Monday. You know, Rodgers had a stinker against Tampa last year. He threw two interceptions, did not throw a touchdown, and they got drilled. And then over the next 11 games, they went 9-2. And I think the count was 35 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. So this is an unfamiliar territory. The only thing that gives me pause here, and I would always almost advocate for grabbing double digits against NFL opponents, like Dan Campbell's, I think, crazy enough to get the Lions to play hard for a while here. And that might be a half a season, maybe a little bit more. I don't think it'll last forever. But you got to admit, like, they were getting run out of that building, but they found a way to kind of hang around and come back and make it exciting. They actually ran the ball, guys. Like, the Lions, they had the sixth best EPA, you know, via the run of any team in the league last week against the 49ers. Like, they actually did some good things. Goff was much better in the second half. So, I'm not, a game I'm staying away from. If I were going to give you one other, I think the Bills will bounce back. This has been a nightmare matchup for Miami the last couple of years. Josh Allen has owned them. If there's a weakness with Brian Flores' defense, it's against 11 personnel, and nobody in the league plays more 11 personnel three wide than Brian Daboll and the Bills. They were like 11 percentage points higher than average last year. The Patriots killed the Dolphins with three wides last week. So I think it's a bad, bad matchup, even though the Bills have to go on the road and they're laying points as a division opponent. I still think the Bills bounce back and cover this weekend.
All right. You're going to join us at Kenny's in Countryside next week. Did I hear that right?
I'll come by. Yeah, I'll come by. I mean, it's like down the street from me. I love Kenny's. That's a good
place.
Ride
your bike down there. Ride your bike.
I don't know if I'm going to ride my bike, but maybe I will. Maybe I'll ride my bike.
Ride your bike.
All right, Carm. Odds Couple on the ESPN Chicago app. Crosstalk Unhinged there as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Carm.
All right, boys. Have a good Friday. Good weekend.
You too. There's Carmen DeFalco. Bye. Let's make our picks.
That's good info right there.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Carmen's great at what he does. The Odds Couple with Mike North is absolutely awesome. We'll make some of our picks.
Oh, boy.
What to watch for. JD's still around the corner. So much to get to. And a couple more free ticket Fridays.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
All right, we'll have a free ticket Friday coming up here in about 10 minutes. Also tonight, Pub Crawl, brought to you by White Claw. I'll be out. Got the Palatine on the brain. It's a weekend. Beautiful night. 3 bars tonight. Come check me out to possibly win this trip to Vegas with us.
It's a quasi-home game for you.
Yeah. Palatine's not far. Lamplighter in, 7 o'clock, 7:40 at TJ O'Brien's. JL's Pizza will be our final stop at 8:20. We'll end this thing at 9. You'll have 3 different times to qualify. And if you go to all 3, you can qualify 3 times. Then you could qualify a 4th, a 5th, and a 6th time tomorrow in Antioch. I'll be at Anastasia's, Wings, etc., and Rivalry. That's in Antioch. Cannot wait for these next 2 events. Cannot wait for our trip to Vegas. We'll be flying out October 7th. We'll be broadcasting at Stadium Swim. Do me a favor.
Yeah.
Google Stadium Swim. Google it.
Yeah, it's good.
Take a look at what you could win, the environment where we're going to be broadcasting from, the pool and everything.
My sister-in-law went there, had to be more than a year ago. I don't know how long they've been open, a couple of years ago. She sent a picture. It's the first time I'd ever seen it. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was euphoric when I saw it, and I screamed, "We've got to go."
Yeah, and their indoor sports book at Circa, where we're staying, that's where they have Stadium Swim. One of our listeners tweeted us and said, he's a huge sports fan, and if you're a sports fan, he said he will never stay at another place in Vegas. He said he had high expectations. And usually when the bar is high, it's tough to meet the bar.
Yeah.
He said they exceeded every bar at Circa.
Wow.
He said, we're going to love it. And we're giving away these trips tonight, again, in Palatine, tomorrow in Antioch.
Awesome.
Let's get to Like It, Love It, just a taste of it.
I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
Brought to you by Ghosts on Red. Absolutely great stuff there. Hear the spots all the time. Bryan Cranston and who?
Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul, yes. Very good. All right, the standings were not good. For I don't think.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, did Abdallah come out of the gates on fire?
Chris went 3-0 and I went 2-1. I mean,
wow. Football season. I don't know what you guys are doing.
I don't know what you guys are doing.
Let's go. Time for keeps.
Bleck has 6 points. I have 3 points. Sylvie has 1 point. Waddle has no points.
Oh, Waddle went pointless, huh?
He pushed on one, but we don't give out points for pushing.
And
really? I don't get any points for a push?
No, pushing.
Ugh. You got to win to get a point.
They say it's like kissing your sister, but who wants... I mean, that's you should get negative points for that. That's gross.
That's
gross. It's gross. It's gross. All right, Chris, you're first.
All right, let's go with this. For the like, I'm going down to Miami, Dolphins, Bills. The Dolphins are the underdogs, getting 3.5. I think this team is pretty good. I know that you guys just talked to Carmen. He went oppo. I think the Bills may be in trouble staring at an 0-2 hole to start the season. I at least like Miami to keep this thing close within a field goal, so I'll take the points in the Dolphins for my like.
How many points?
3.5.
Don't they usually say to, I know Carmen said the Bills have had Miami's number, but isn't it really hard for teams, especially early in the year, to go down there?
This is really hot.
It's hot.
Really hot.
From the north?
Yeah, the Bears went down there and lost the game.
It's hot. Sweaty. Yeah.
Remember that game?
In the sun. You're on the sideline in the sun. The other team's in the shade.
It's not early December in Buffalo right now, so they still have some warm weather as well. But you're right. I think it makes it more
difficult. No one really played in the preseason. I don't know if you're in great shape yet.
Sweating.
Abdallah, what do you got?
Gentlemen, we go to Saturday. I liked Toledo last week against Notre Dame. I'm going to like Purdue this week against Notre Dame. I don't like Purdue. I think they're fake. I think they're a fake team.
Who do you have?
I'm going to go with Purdue plus 7.5. They're ranked 22nd in offense, according to SP+. Notre Dame is 33rd in offense, according to SP+.
So you just said you don't believe in Purdue, but you don't believe in Notre Dame.
Sorry. Okay, I said I don't believe in Notre Dame. I think they're a fake team. Okay. And they're ranked 105th in defensive finishing drives. So teams usually can finish drives against them. They convert third downs against them. I like Purdue plus the 7.5.
There you go. Okay.
I'm going to go prop bet. You know how much I like watching Kyler Murray play football. Kyler Murray against the Vikings, they're struggling. I think they've got some health issues, too, on that defense. Kyler Murray, the total for his yards is 276.5. Give me the over in Kyler Murray's passing yards at home. He's like a video game, so give me Kyler Murray and the like.
My like is very simple. I like the Bears at home giving 2.5 to the Cincinnati Bengals. That's all I got for you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's really no explanation other than I agree that it was an exaggeration with regard to the line based on what we saw in week one, and I think the Bears will take care of business at home.
Chris Bleck, give us your like. Okay. Your love, I'm sorry.
I'm going to give you guys Carolina, New Orleans. This game, the Saints are on the road. They're favored by 3 points. Go the other way. I'm taking the home team, the Panthers, plus the 3 at home against New Orleans. I think it's a little overreaction to assume that New Orleans is that good from what we saw in last week. And they're dismantling of Green Bay.
You still like yourself some Sam Darnold, don't
you? I wasn't going to talk about Sam Darnold, but I thought he was okay in the opener against the Jets. I know the Jets stink. But I thought that Matt Rhule and the offense there, I think they were okay. So I'm going to take the points in the Panthers for my love.
That intrigued me, that pick. That's the way I went in the Sun Times. So that's
That's not good news for you, Chris. Kiss him down.
Either you go with Sylvia or you go with the guy paying for picks.
Ooh, gentlemen, we stay on Saturday. Oklahoma, Nebraska. Oklahoma's averaging 58 points a game. The over under in this game is 62.5 over. Nebraska sucks at defense. Oklahoma's bad on defense still, but they put up a lot of points. Also, this is going to be like an 80-point game.
All right,
it's going to be a football murder.
I would like to go to Saturday as well, but how do we feel about -140? Is that acceptable or no good? I mean, no bueno. What are we choosing?
That's
here?
What you want to do with your life.
You know, listen, when you look in the mirror, the guy looking back at you, you've got to be okay with that.
You guys have to approve. The play I wanted was Lance Lynn on the run line beating the Texas Rangers against his former team.
I don't know. If you want to get him on baseball now, go for it. I'm talking football.
Yeah, so that's fine.
If you're spending time looking at baseball lines, then...
Look, the White Sox could use some wins. They need healthy Lance Lynn. He's going up against his
minus
former team.
Minus 140?
The run and a half?
Yes.
Yeah, that's fine. If it was just the money line, I would
No, it's not to run and a half.
So run
all
back.
Right, that's
yeah,
how much
ahead.
Their favorite. So I love the White Sox to pound the Rangers with Lance Lynn on the mound on Saturday.
I love the Titans getting 6.5 for all the reasons that we've talked about already. I like Seattle as a team. I don't believe the Titans will be nearly as bad in this game. I think that Mike Vrabel put a boot in their rear end, and I think that at the very least they'll keep it close. I think 6.5 is too many.
And Chris, wrap us up with your taste.
Let's do this. Yeah. I actually, since I went against Carmen with my first pick, I actually like his angle on this game for the Eagles and the 49ers. I like what I saw from the Eagles in week one. I don't think San Francisco is going to be that powerful. So I think Eagles with the points, Jalen Hurts, I'll go Eagles +3.
Okay. I'm going to put down that $25 on that play, too. You don't like that play, huh?
No, I don't like the sound they're making behind the glass.
What do you got, Abdallah?
Saturday night, Auburn goes to Penn State for their first road Big Ten game since the SEC was formed. Bo Nix, the quarterback from Auburn.
He's no good.
His touchdown interception ratio at home, 15-1. On the road, 9-10. So I'm going to go with Penn State -5 at home. That's my taste.
I'm going to take the Bears as my taste. 2.5 is the line right now.
Congrats to the Bengals.
I've got Bama -14.5.
Oh, don't do that to me.
Over the Gators.
He's nuts.
What?
Isn't that what Saban's
I don't think
been?
You can say that.
That's been the topic all week. It's been the.
You were talking about almonds.
Have you heard about what's going on down there?
I saw Joey, the guy that does the imitation. I saw that on Twitter. But
first, it was a player who said that he loves to play that game with all the players.
Yeah.
And then Saban
does the game.
Yes. And then Saban then was asked on his show. He's got the television show. And he had to address it. It was quite funny. And he left it open-ended. He says he likes to joke around.
You know who I like? I like D's Alabama. Stop.
D's Roll Tide.
I wouldn't, but that's okay. Anastasia. It's your pick. It's not my pick.
Okay, so there we go. It's Free Ticket Friday. Let's ring it up. We got two more of these things right now and at 5:45. 312-332-3776. It's all brought to you by our great friends and partners at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Everyone loves Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It's because they'll roll out the red carpet for you and treat you like a VIP. And you may see a few VIPs there as well. David Flom and Maddie Moore going to do it right. You're going to say thank you for the recommendation. Caller 10 right now, 332-3776, wins tickets to White Sox Tigers. Our recommendations for what to watch for coming up next.
Chicago's proud of you.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
Right. It's brought to you by our great friends and partners at Swift & Sons American Steakhouse.
Kyle Fuller.
In the West Loop in the Fulton Market District. Enjoy their steak. Enjoy their seafood. Enjoy their appetizers.
Effing Fuller.
Do not argue about Kyle Fuller in the middle of a busy restaurant and start swearing with other people looking to enjoy the same food, the same wine, the same delightful ambiance.
It was delicious.
The Boca Restaurant Group, they know how to get it done, don't they? Rob Katz and Kevin Bame, they work harder than anyone. Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist, and hat tip to their executive chef, Chris Pandel. Swift & Sons also available for takeout and delivery, and they are located in Tavern Formation, Swift & Sons Tavern, across the street from Wrigley Field. Waddle, you're excited about what you're watching for.
I watched the first two episodes of a Showtime series called American Rust.
It stars Maura Tierney, I believe is her name. And the I think the highlighted character is Sheriff Del Harris. Not your basketball coach from years gone by, but Del Harris. He is a retired sheriff. Or not a retired, but he's the sheriff of a small town in Pennsylvania, played by Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels is really good
in this, and there's been a murder. So I've seen the first two episodes of it. I recommend it highly.
Is it a little like Mayor of Easttown?
It's got a little bit of a Mayor of Easttown feel in terms of the like the location. Rundown, small, kind of, you know, blue collar Pennsylvania town.
Right.
It's really. I thought it was really well acted, so I'm in.
My What to Watch For actually aired over the air. I believe it was Tuesday and Wednesday. I watched it last night, all four episodes. I saw the 30 for 30 on the Mets. This is the 86 Mets. This is Once Upon a Time in Queens. Waddle, it's one of the most hated teams I've ever had in my life. And I don't overuse that word hate. I hated them. But after watching the four, I sort of have a different feel for them.
Weren't they doing the nasty in between innings?
There's a lot going on. And Lenny Dykstra is as vulgar as it gets on ESPN2, and they didn't bleep out any of the F words or SH words. The Doc Gooden, Daryl Strawberry stories are incredible. Keith Hernandez got into his drug issue a little bit. The stuff that was going on the plane, some of the slumps that they had. It was very intriguing. Gary Carter was one of my least favorite athletes. I liked him a little more after watching it. It was good theater. Jimmy Kimmel and his cousin Sal did it. So it's a good watch, Once Upon a Time in Queens. What do you guys have?
That's new.
It's brand new. It ran on Tuesday and Wednesday.
That's funny. I saw it and it came on and started up and I was like, ugh, I've seen this nonsense from 30 for 30 before, and I clicked it off immediately.
See why I like those?
I was like, I know Simmons isn't behind this anymore, and I clicked it off.
It was good, and it just reminds me of my childhood.
So I'm glad that it was actually new. Yes. Maybe I'll check it out. I thought it was an old one. I thought it was an old 30 for 30 that I haven't seen before.
Brand new.
All right, let me give you guys this. I like Ryan Murphy shows on FX, so I'm going to give you guys the American Crime Story impeachment about the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky saga. I think they're through two episodes. It's pretty good.
We were watching a little of that, too. Yes.
It's not bad. It's pretty good. I like all those shows on FX.
And then wrap us up here, Abdal. What are you watching for?
I know Waddle's familiar with the Chicago Party Ant.
Yes.
That's why I knew you would groan.
Waddle's pinned with the Chicago Party Ant.
Excuse me?
Yeah. And now the Number Twitter account, ranks. Shy cool. Party Ant, has her very own, or his very own show, if you know who's behind the account. Has her very own show on Netflix. There are 8 episodes out right now. It's a cartoon based on the Twitter account Shy Party Ant, and it's supposed to be a great tribute to the drunken city that is Chicago.
She seems to have a lot of heart.
Yeah, she's got a lot of something.
In the trailer, yeah, the heart.
Yeah, she's got a lot of something.
You know, Ike Barinholtz is behind it. I believe his brother, too. And David Stassen, another guy who's a writer and producer and director. He's a huge Bears fan, so it's a huge Chicago collaboration. Shouldn't use that word, collaboration. Well, the Bears collaborate this weekend and produce a win. Will Matt Nagy push the right buttons? We will debate that coming up in 2 short minutes.